The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, known widely in the United States as the Solemnity of the Super Bowl. And as you know, our Super Bowl snacks today will either be sweet or savory. This might be a good launching point to consider one of the two images Christ uses in our gospel today, when he says, "You are the salt of the earth." What exactly does the Lord mean? Again, this is the line. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men." So at first, we might understand this as a simple exhortation to be basically good, honest, and decent people. In fact, this is what we usually mean when we say someone's salt of the earth. We describe, generally speaking, a good person. And of course, we should all strive for simplicity and honesty, but if we simply reduce today's gospel to that basic level, we fail to account for perhaps our Lord's fuller intention. And the second part of the verse, which strikes us as odd. After all, how can salt lose its saltiness? I don't think any of us have ever tasted salt that doesn't taste like salt. So what is exactly our Lord trying to say here? Well, to understand his purpose for using this image of salt, we might take a moment to first understand the cultural and religious significance salt carried for the average person in the ancient world, and especially for a first century Jew. Context means a lot. You'll recall perhaps from your studies that in the ancient world, salt was the foundation of empires. Yes, empires. The Roman Empire expanded into the largest rule the world had yet seen at that point, thanks largely to salt. Yes, salt. Roman armies on campaign with no time to hunt and prepare food subsisted on salted meats, salted fish, salted cheese, and salted vegetables, all of which were preserved in salt to stave off decay and putrefaction. Salt, or in Latin called sal, same in Spanish, was the fuel for the Roman imperial machine. It sustained soldiers, it stretched supplies, it secured survival. In fact, soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. In fact, this payment was known as a salarium. That's the word we use in English for salary. Hence, the expression that someone is worth his salt comes to mind. But more important than its imperial purpose was its preservative power. Beyond preserving food from decay, salt was thought to have health-giving and even healing properties. We can see this in the name of the Roman goddess of health, Salus. Salt was thus connected to the vivifying and purifying properties of health. From this root word, sal, we derive a whole number of words in English: salutary, salve, salubrious, and yes, even the word salvation. But it wasn't the Romans alone, however, who recognized salt's sacred significance. Ancient Israel incorporated salt into their temple worship. And the theological meaning of salt in the Old Testament runs very deep In fact, Moses is commanded to season the temple or the temple tent in his own age during the Exodus with salt to make it pure and holy. And in the ancient Near East, meals were a necessary part of sealing covenants. Meals made allies. Meals made brothers. And we can see this in an ancient Arabic expression that has survived to this day. There is salt between us, meaning there is between us a deep, enduring bond of friendship, loyalty, and hospitality. All covenants were confirmed by sacrificial meals, and salt was always present. So with that, let's return to today's gospel. We can see now how Jesus' choice of the salt imagery carries deep significance for his listeners. The first century Jews knew that salt meant vivification. It gives life. It preserves it. They knew it meant preservation. They also knew it meant covenant and sacrifice. So what does it mean then, in Jesus' mind, to be salt of the earth? Well, it means to be vivifying. It means to be conservative. I don't mean in the political sense per se, but in the preservative sense. In other words, preserving all that is good in the world, all that is in the tradition of the church. It really means avoiding conforming ourselves to the world, or in other words, losing our saltiness. In fact, the Greek word used to describe salt losing its taste is moria, M-O-R-I-A. It's translated as foolishness. It's the root of the English word moron. So Jesus is telling us we lose our saltiness by becoming moronic, by conforming ourselves to the moronic ways of the world. And a man is most moronic when he pretends to be someone he is not, when he forgets who he really is. So then we are asked to present to ourselves a simple question, reflectively, who am I? Jesus says, I have the answer. You are the salt of the earth. Christ's answer describes the critical character of the Christian calling. So either the Christian offers himself in complete sacrifice along with all of creation, or he has no reason for being Christian at all. And he might as well be thrown out to be trampled underfoot like a moron. There is no middle ground, no room for mediocrity, and insipid Christians, that is, those of us who have lost proper flavor, have forgotten our function and forgotten our faith, are really in a bad way. We must regain our saltiness. We lose our saltiness, we become moronic by blending into the common environment out of exhaustion, perhaps out of fear to introduce a jarring note or a sharp, pungent flavor into the common endeavor. We get scared to stand out. And this happens all the time. Many Catholics today are indistinguishable from their peers. And we are called to do as we know more than this. Therefore, to be salt of the earth is a high and difficult calling. Hence, as a final thought today, we might say this. We can observe how the gospel exhorts us to be salty, not in the colloquial sense of being angry or bitter or irritable or obnoxious, rather to be agents of purity, preserving all that is good about Christian culture and the wider society, and to be people who season the world that is meandering in moral decay, unmoored from God. We see how dear to Christ are the ordinary things of the world, common things like salt, bread, and wine. These are humble elements, but nonetheless contain the mystery of vitality and beauty, not only of the present world, but of the life of the world to come. And even in our own liturgical tradition, blessed salt may be used in baptisms as a symbol of purification. Blessed salt is a powerful traditional Catholic sacramental use for spiritual protection, purification, and the blessing of homes and individuals. Priests bless it to communicate God's grace, symbolizing preservation and spiritual protection. So, as we gather this afternoon, around bowls of chips and platters of savory snacks as we settle in for kickoff with family and friends and reach for our salty snacks. Remember the salt we are called to carry within ourselves. And may it be for us, a token that foreshadows everlasting life.